in Scripture, walking is one of the Bible's very vivid metaphors. It's about how godly people should live. The Bible uses the term walking to talk about things that we should avoid or to talk about things that we should embrace, you know, things we should walk away from or things we should walk towards. The Bible often uses this image of walking to seek it for God to get His message across to us. Let me give you just a couple of quick examples before we move on. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Look then carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And then another one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we ask and we urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you're doing, do so more and more. So there's a couple of different examples. Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians, the Bible's going to stress, be cognizant of, be aware of how you walk. And what he means by that is, recognize how you live, how you speak, how you act, where you go. Are you walking in places to where you look like Jesus? Or the things you're doing, the things you're saying, people would never for a moment confuse you with somebody who's a Christian. Be careful how you walk. It's not just graduation ceremony. It's not just an exercise. It's not just about, okay, you're going to walk at this time, get up after this person, be sure you put this hand out and you shake this way. When the Bible speaks of walking, it's about walking with a purpose and a very real change. And so when he says, be careful how you walk, the question we have to answer is this. Well, then how should we walk? Be careful how you walk, how should we do it? Well, I want to suggest to you two very, very broad things that when the Bible's speaking of walking, it's using it in two very broad terms. Number one is this. When the Bible speaks about us walking, it's about the way that we deal with other people. It's about our interaction with other human beings. You might consider it this way. It's like if you have a companion that you're walking with, you've met at a certain place, you're walking along a certain trail, or you're on the sidewalk together and you're walking along. It's about how do you interact with someone? How do you present yourself and how do you handle it when others present themselves to you? The Bible's going to talk about walking in a way that talks about the way we give and take, deal with, and interact with other people. Walking is interaction. Let me give you an example. The 55th Psalm. Psalm 55, beginning at verse 13, it says this. It is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng. Now note this. In God's house. So here's one thing. With good friends, we ought to be able to walk to God's house together. I'm going to talk more about influence in a moment, but let me just go ahead and say it now. If you've got a friend who's keeping you from walking, and I'm not just talking to a senior today, I might mean a senior with gray hair like mine. If you've got a friend who's keeping you from walking to the Lord's house, that's not a friend. That's an enemy. He says here in 55th Psalm, we used to walk together to the Lord's house. We used to worship together. We used to pray together. But you've become my enemy. And the other thing he says is this, we walk together in the throng. You could be in a group like this where you're shoulder to shoulder with people after people. He says, but with you, when you and I were together, because of our friendship, all the other noise just sort of faded into the background. We were there together in spite of the huge crowd because we were friends and because we were walking together. Big crowds like this. In a room like this today, you're going to have people that you don't know at all, people you just kind of barely know. And you should have some people who are tight, who are your friends, where even though there's a huge crowd, you're not alone because you got that person there with you. That's what the Bible says. We walked together in the throng. We had one another to walk together. And so with that idea in mind, I want you to be turning in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Because you see, there's a certain way that you're to treat that person you walk with. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a Christ-like way, and then there's a worldly way to treat the person that you're walking with. And it's described so beautifully in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, a prisoner. This is what was just read in your hearing just a moment ago, but I want to emphasize it. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Walk in the right way. Walk in a way that's pleasing to heaven. And then he's going to go on and describe very specifically the way you deal with other people. Here's how you walk in a way that pleases heaven. You're humble. You're gentle. You're patient. You bear with others. And in all things, you show love. That's how you walk with other people that pleases heaven. I'm telling you, I'm urging you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The way that we treat others is absolutely, don't fool yourself, the way we treat others is a reflection of how we are either connected or not connected to Jesus. Let me say that again. The way we treat others is a very clear reflection of whether or not we're connected to Jesus. Because you can make all kinds of, you can protest all day long. I'm a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And then when you go out and refuse to be humble, gentle, love others, and treat others in a kind and patient, Christ-like way, you're not a disciple of Jesus. That's what he says here so plainly. This is a reflection of being his. Being humble. Being willing to be quiet, to let the other person shine. So as you walk along with this other one, the one you walk in the crowd with, does it always have to be about you with the spotlights on you and they're in the darkness even though they're walking right next to your shoulder? Or are you able to be humble enough to allow the other to speak, allow the other to have the spotlight on them, allow them to shine? King Nebuchadnezzar, way back in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, he learned about the King of Heaven. The King of Heaven is able to humble those who walk in pride. So the way we walk is to be with humility and gentleness. This is especially important when someone has come to recognize their sin. They've come to recognize mistakes that they've made. How are we now going to deal with them? How are you going to walk with this person who has finally conjured up the courage to say, I sinned and I need to be forgiven? How will we walk with that person? Scripture says, in gentleness and in patience, the person that you really love, the person you're really friends with, you're walking with them, you're going to treat them the way Scripture says. Patient, bearing with one another. You walk with people. The way you treat others is the way that heaven looks down and sees you walking. But also, right in this same thing here, interaction with other people, it really is about the companions that we choose. It's kind of like the idea here in this huge picture of all these different graduates. It's as if, I know you don't get to normally choose your spot in a graduation ceremony, but in this picture, I want you to imagine this scenario with me. You get to pick where you sit. You get to choose where in this huge crowd you get to sit. You get to pick it out. It's as if all the other people in the room are just waiting, and they will happily and gladly move aside for you to take their spot, get in that seat. Heaven says, I'm watching to see what seat you choose. Better reference to connect with today, I'm watching to see who you choose to walk next to. The Bible says this in Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. God says, don't walk with the wicked. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Do not enter into the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Now that's divine wisdom, but written here in the way of a father speaking to a son. And I can just see it thinking about today like today. This is a father sitting with his son before the son who's just graduated from high school is about to leave and go to college. About to pack things up and head to Lexington or Louisville or Bowling Green or Henderson. And the father says, son, you're going to have an opportunity to walk with a lot of people. All kinds of choices of who you can walk with. And here in Proverbs 4:14, he says, don't walk with the wicked. And you go over a few pages to Proverbs 13, verse 20, and the father says to that son, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, this is an area that, again, let me emphasize this. I am not limiting this idea to a graduating senior, because Scripture doesn't limit it this way. This is an area where almost all of us are naive. I don't care if you're 18 or if you're 68. Almost all of us are naive in that we are somehow convinced that we are impervious to evil influence. You think it's just the other 7 billion people in the world, but it's not me. I'm the lone exception. I'm the one who's not going to fall prey to the influence of others. We think that we can read, watch, listen to, or hang out with anyone and everything and not be detrimentally influenced. It's certainly not what Scripture says. And it's certainly not what experience says. It's just flat out wrong to think that way. So whether we're high school seniors moving on to the next phase, or if we're 50 years old, right smack dab in the middle of life, our chosen companions are absolutely influencing us. I'll say it again. Our chosen companions are absolutely influencing us. So God asks, with whom are you walking? As you walk along this path, how are you treating the person that you walk with? And who is this person that you're walking with? With whom are you walking? Because walking is about interaction. But then secondly, the next way in which Scripture uses this term walking is this. It's about a lifestyle. It's about a chosen direction. When the Scripture speaks of walking, very often it's about being intentional. It's about wisely and boldly making a certain choice. Very often the Bible talks about walking like this. You can almost kind of rewind in your mind as you've read the passage. You can kind of rewind, and it's kind of the idea is this. The person, the man or the woman, has been standing here, and they've got a choice. They're at the fork in the road. As Yogi Berra once said, you come to a fork, take it. Well, God says when you come to a fork in the road, there's one choice to make. Choose to walk towards me. You can evidently, clearly choose to walk away from him. And so very often, Scripture speaks of walking, about making this choice. I'm going to walk towards heaven, as it were. Enoch, Genesis 5:24. Noah, Genesis 6, verse 9. It says of these men, they walked with God. Now, here's a couple of men that we can say, look at where they are in the terms of the way everybody else acts. And with Enoch and with Noah, the basic way to describe their peers would be this one word, evil. And yet they still made the choice to walk with God. They said, I've got a path I'm going to take, and no matter what else others are doing, I'm taking this path. So Enoch and Noah walked with God. Very often Scripture says it like this. The question that posed to us, the unasked question that's posed to us is this. Will you walk in the light or will you walk in the darkness? Will you choose to walk in the light or will you choose to walk in the darkness? Notice with me in John chapter 12, verse 35. John 12, 35. The light is among you for a little while longer. Jesus is speaking of himself. Jesus is speaking here, and he might as well just say, I'm going to be walking with you just a little bit longer. But he says, the light's among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, Jesus said. Make the choice to walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. And then John would reflect similar ideas in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, beginning at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in excuse me, let me start over. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So Jesus says, you've got a choice. Walk in the light with me or walk in the darkness away from me. It's your choice. Which one will you choose? Which direction will you choose to start traversing? Let me share with you some lies that a lot of us believe. Because sometimes when it speaks of walking in the darkness, like back there in John 12:35, remember it said that the one who's walking in the darkness doesn't even know where he's going. You walk in the darkness, you don't know what the next step holds. You walk in the darkness, you don't know where you're going. And so part of what it is to walk in darkness is to be living a lie, even if it's unintentional. You're living out this idea, going where you don't even know the next step is. You're living this lie. Well, there's some lies that many of us believe. Number one is this: my choices only affect me. My choices only affect me. That's a lie. The philosophy is this: do whatever you want to do as long as you don't hurt somebody else. That's a lie. I'm reminded just this week, if you're from my generation, thinking about kids graduating from high school, if you're from my generation, this week, Chris Cornell killed himself. Maybe you read this article. He was from a band that was kind of big when I was young. He killed himself this week. The night he had a concert, that night, played that night in Detroit, and then went back to his hotel and killed himself. That night on stage, just hours before he killed himself, he said things like this: I don't care what you do. Burn your own house down if you want. Just don't burn anybody else's house down. He said, do what you want to do. Just don't hurt other people. So you see his philosophy: do what you want to do. Just don't hurt others. Burn your own house down. Just make sure no sparks get on the roof of someone else. He said that, and then a few hours later, he took his own life. You think your choices only affect you? You think the decisions you make, you think the things you say only affect you? Ask the families that are still hurting and still trying to pick up the pieces from a suicide. Ask them if that choice only affected the one person. Ask the children who are dealing with numerous places to live because of all those who've exercised their freedom and made their own choices because their choices only affected themselves. Ask those kids if that's true. To say my choices only affect me is a lie. The second one is this: to say my feelings are the truest expression of who I am, that's a lie. Feelings are powerful, but feelings do not determine reality, and feelings are very often wrong. When you're faced with a decision, whether you'd call it a big decision or a little one, how do you decide what to do? Do you make most or maybe all of your decisions based on how you feel? I read not too long ago where Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy once said this: at the heart of liberty, in other words, what it means to live in a free country, at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, one's own concept of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. You decide. Your feelings are the truest expression of who you are. That's ridiculous. It's a major reason why we're in turmoil. Feelings will not lead us toward the good. Feelings will not lead us toward the true and the beautiful unless they're informed by the Word of God. My feelings are not the truest expression of who I am. When I'm walking in the light, created, living the way I was created, that's the truest expression of who I am. Thirdly and finally, it's similar to the others, but it's this. The third lie many of us believe is that my life is for me. My life is for me and no one else. No, don't go there yet. So many of us today think that the ultimate goal of life is to satisfy our every desire. The problem is this: I'm too small to live for. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this: you're too small to live for also. Anything short of living for God is too little. We've been created to love. We've been created to serve. We've been created to give. A life that's oriented towards the self is doomed. The only way to truly be free and to live a life that matters is to know God. In Psalm 119, verse 45, the Bible says, I shall walk in a wide place. I shall walk in luxurious freedom, for I have sought your precepts. There's this idea of continued growth maturing, moving towards where we need to be. Let me share with you this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, the one who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul said, I'm encouraging you. I will always try to encourage you along the way. Because we're not going to wake up one day. You're not going to walk across one stage on one day and come across the other side of the stage perfect. He says, I'm going to keep on encouraging you. I'm going to keep on encouraging you to move towards God, to be like Jesus. I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on encouraging you to continue along this path. Keep walking in this way that's towards heaven. And so as you walk today, in which direction are you going? Are we walking in a manner that's worthy of God? And are we walking in a way that's getting us closer and closer to Jesus? And that brings us to our third and final point. It is this one. Guess what? Thirdly and finally, we want you to know that God walks too. God walks too. Does that not sound weird to your ears? Makes sense for us to think God says, now here's how you should walk. But it sounds strange for me to tell you that God walks. And yet, over and over and over again in Scripture, God uses that image for himself. For example, number one, what it means is this, that when God says that he's walking, what he says is, I'm there. I'm present with you in your life, and I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to protect you. Leviticus 26, verse 12. I will walk among you and be your God, and you'll be my people. Deuteronomy 23, verse 14. Because the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you, therefore your camp must be holy. So here's the message. Be bold. Be courageous. Be bold because God walks among his people. Be bold because God, as he walks among his people, he does it with a purpose, with a reason, and that's to deliver his people. So you and I can walk with confidence, not arrogance, but confidence that God walks with us. And the other thing is this, his presence not only means he delivers, but his presence, his walking with us also means he knows. Full of parent, full of teacher, full of boss, God knows. God's continually, forever walking with us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, as the Bible says that the Lord God was walking in the garden. It's telling us that in Genesis 3, that he walked in the garden in order to let Adam and Eve know, I know what you've done. I know where you've been. I know what fruit you've sampled. I know what you've done. I walk here in this garden, right? Same thing could be said about our homes, about our schools, about our jobs. God says, I know what you've done. I know what you think. I walk here. And that's the idea in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, where Jesus describes himself as the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Jesus describes himself as the one who walks among the churches. So now note that. From Genesis, the very beginning of God's revelation to us, to Revelation, the ending of God's revelation to us, the bookends of Scripture tell us this. God's walking with us and he knows. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. He's walking with us. So we can be bold in knowing that he's walking with us to protect us, but we also must be aware. Be aware that God walks among his people and he absolutely knows what they do. Now that applies to those walking across the stage to graduate. God knows. That applies to the 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 99-year-old person in this room. God knows. He's walking with you, and he knows. So here's the idea. On a day like today, absolutely, with every bit of joy and thanksgiving and all of this, we congratulate our seniors. It's such a big deal. It is. It's such a big deal to graduate. It's significant to walk across the stage into a new passage of life. But for every last one of us, it matters how we walk. It matters how we treat others. It matters what direction that we're traveling. And so the message from God to us this morning is this: it's time to get up and start walking. It's time to walk. But it's time to walk in the direction He would have us to. It's time to walk in a way that's worthy of our calling. Are we walking to please God? It might mean that your walk begins this way. It might mean that your walk begins by walking up here to the front of this room, confessing sin, repenting of sin, acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Savior, and being immersed into a watery grave. It might be that your walk consists of this: stepping off of that path that leads away from heaven and joining the path that leads to, choosing to leave the darkness and begin walking in the light once again. Are we walking to please God or to please ourselves? Won't you walk with the Lord while we stand and sing?